I hope Enoch comes back. This morning's scripture reading is from Josh. I'm sorry, I apologize for that. This morning's scripture reading is from Joshua chapter 20. So if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word, we'll read it together. Joshua 20. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Say to the people of Israel, appoint cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of that city, that they may take him into the city and give him a place. And he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. And he shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled." So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. And beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness on the tableland, from the tribe of Reuben, and Kamath in Gilead, from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel and for the strangers sojourning among them, that anyone who killed a person without intent could flee there, so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. So ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated.
Well, before I begin, I do have to say that I was assigned to do chapter 20 and 21, but as I was studying the text of chapter 20, I realized that there is immense richness in this text, and if I have to do both chapters together, it would take probably an hour or two to expound the entire the richness of the text. So I did ask for permission to only do chapter 20, and maybe one day in the Lord's time, I'll make it up for you guys for chapter 21. But today, chapter 20 is our focus, and it's going to be a more difficult text or a sermon to hear because we do deal with God's grace and His provision for the people who accidentally killed another person. So let us look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll asking for His mercies and grace, and open our ears so that we may see and hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ once again, in the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we may, we ask that you may use the word this morning and speak it to our hearts, and may we leave this place, and even from this text, we may see Christ and see how you are a refuge for us, and even when accidents happen in our lives, may you work within us, and may you speak through your child, and may you may all of us leave this place and remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. We pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen. So, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know accidents happen every single day. In a split of a second, lives are changed, and some things would never be the same. And let me begin with a couple of stories. I heard of a woman driving on the highway one time, and she was in the middle lane. And she saw that the exit was coming up, so she was trying to merge into the lane next to her, into the right lane, so she could exit. And as she was doing that, she didn't see the car at her blind spot. And when she finally saw the car, she swerved back into her lane, but she went a bit too far, and she hit the car on the left lane. And the other car slammed right into the concrete walls. You know, on the highway, there are concrete dividing walls. And the car slammed right into it. And the driver of that vehicle, thankfully, he didn't die, but he became paralyzed. And each of their lives was changed forever. And then another story that I have heard is that of a father hurrying out the door to go to work. Not wanting to be late, he had quickly gone out to his garage. He started the car, and he pressed the gas right away to back out. But he was unaware that his son had followed him. And little did he know that he was behind the car, and the father had driven him over. Can you imagine what his life must have been like after the accident? Beating himself up every single day, thinking that he should have checked the rear view mirror before he pressed on the gas. Can you imagine the grief that the family had to go through after the accident? Imagine the shame and the regret that he had to carry upon his shoulders for the rest of his life. But the question is this: why am I telling you these stories? And beloved congregation of the Lord, I'm telling these stories because these stories highlight for us the pain and the shame behind the text in front of us this morning. And this is what Joshua 20 is really about. What happens when accidents occur? Does the Bible have an answer? So let us look at the text in front of us this morning. This text will be divided in front of us 3 points. Very easy to remember. Who were these cities appointed for? For whom? Why were they appointed? Second. And third, where can we find our city of refuge today? So for whom these cities were appointed for, why were they appointed, and where can we find the city of refuge today? So let us now look to our first point. For whom these cities were appointed. So after the Lord had given the land of Canaan into the hands of Israel, we have come so far in the book of Joshua. And in chapter 19, we saw how the land was divided among the 12 tribes of Israel as their inheritance. And the Lord here in chapter 20, he commanded Joshua to follow the command given to Moses to appoint cities of refuge in Israel. And the Lord commanded Israel to appoint 6 cities of refuge in total. And these cities, if you know anything about them, they were very special. And if you look back at it into the law of Moses in Deuteronomy and Numbers, we find that 3 of them were placed on the east side of the Jordan, and 3 of them on the west side. And if you look at the map, we know that these cities were quite evenly spaced out throughout Israel. And so, wherever you were in Israel, you would be about a day's journey from one of these cities. They were very accessible. And then we're also told that there were roads leading to these cities. And they were not only for Israelites. And these cities were also for foreigners. Anyone can go and find refuge there. And then some extra biblical sources also tell us that bridges were built over the ravines so that people going to these cities would not have to take the longer way, but could take the shortest path possible as soon as possible to go there. And in the springtime every year, the paths leading to these cities must be carefully repaired. And at every intersection, there must be visible and large signs pointing the way to the city to prevent people from taking the wrong turn. The signs were saying, refuge, refuge, that way. Very interesting, right? These cities were very accessible to the people of Israel, but not only for the people of Israel, but for the foreigners also. But the question is this: who were these cities for? And verse 3 tells us that these cities were for accidental manslayers. What it means is that these people accidentally killed somebody without intent, without malice and hatred. It was not done purposely. It was unintentional. And Numbers and Deuteronomy outlined a couple of scenarios for us. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 4. Let me read it to you. If anyone kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated them in the past, as when someone goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe and to get cut down a tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live. And then Numbers 35:22. But if he pushed him suddenly without enmity, or hurled anything on him without lying in wait, or used a stone that could cause death, and without seeing him, dropped it on him so that he died, though he was not his enemy and did not seek his harm. You know, these things really did happen in Israel, and even these things happen in our days as well. We know in some cities they have tall buildings and people are doing constructions. Maybe they drop a screwdriver and some pedestrian walk by and that person would lose his life. And so these things really did happen in Israel, and these cities were built for them. But then another question is this: why would these people need refuge? Refuge from whom? Who are they trying to run from? And that's where we continue verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." And who was the avenger of blood? Well, this is where we have to understand the custom in ancient Israel. There was a custom that if a family member was killed by someone, either intentionally or accidentally, the family would appoint somebody to be the avenger of blood. And the aim of the avenger of blood was to avenge for the death of the family member. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. That was really the world in which they lived in those days. So even if it was accidental, it didn't matter. If you had killed somebody, even accidentally, the avenger of blood would be coming after you. He would be chasing after you. And that's why these people had to flee. And that was also why the Lord appointed cities of refuge to protect the accidental manslayer so that he would not have to patiently wait for his fate, but he could flee to one of these cities to find refuge. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 42, that the manslayer might flee there. Anyone who kills his neighbor unintentionally without being at enmity with him in the past, he may flee to one of these cities and save his life. You see, the Lord knew that accidents would happen. So that was why he appointed these cities for them. So that the accidental manslayer could save his life and not but die by the wrath of the avenger of blood. But notice that these cities were only for the accidental manslayers. They were not safe havens or shelters for murderers. And the law of Moses distinguished that very clearly. Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 to 14 tells us, "Whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee. But if a man willfully attacks another to kill him by cunning, you shall take him from my altar, that he may die." You see, murder and accidental killing were different in God's eyes. The one who lied in wait and murdered with malice deserved death. But for the accidental manslayer, the Lord provided a place for him to flee. You see, man can only see the outward actions, but the Lord our God, he sees the hearts and the intentions of man, and he cares about that. He cares about the intention and the hearts of man. And then we're also told here that when the unintentional killer fled to one of these six cities to find refuge, a hearing was to be held before he entered into the city. And if the elders judged that he did not kill with malice, then they would let him in. And once he was in the city, another trial would take place again in front of the high priest to evaluate again whether this man was innocent. If he was guilty, then the city would have handed him over handed him over to the avenger of blood. But then if the elders of the city judged that he was innocent, then the city was responsible in protecting him. So even if the avenger of blood came to the city and asked for the manslayer, the city was not to give him over. The Lord had it in such a way that as long as the man was in the city of refuge, he was protected from harm. See, what a gracious God. The Lord knew that there would be accidents in people's lives, in our lives. So he appointed places for refuge so that the accidental manslayers could be protected and lives could be preserved. And also in one of the commentaries I consulted, the author mentions about how these cities of refuge, they only existed in Israel. Nowhere else. There was not another nation or religion in the ancient Near East that has cities like these. So do you see here the benefit of being in the covenant of the Lord? Only if you belong to the real and true God, who is compassionate and gracious, only would these cities of refuge exist. And then it is as if the Lord was telling his covenant people, when you belong to my covenant, even when these horrible accidents happen, you have a place to hide and you have a place to find safety. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, isn't this comforting? You see, this kind of comfort only belongs to the Christian. Where else are you going to go to find refuge when horrible accidents happen in life? You see, our comfort is found in the knowledge and trust that our Lord is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He's in control of all things. And even now, he's sustaining all things by his glorious providence. And he cares even when bad things happen to us. What a gracious God we have. He provides a place for safety even when painful accidents happen. But then let us also look to the other side of things. Imagine your loved one has been killed in an accident. And you have the right to be angry. And you are angry because you know it could have been avoided. And it was somebody's mistake that had killed him or her. And because of that person's mistake, you must now live a changed life. A life filled with much pain and grief. It's so painful, right? You can imagine that. Maybe this has happened to you. But this is where we see another reason why the Lord appointed the cities of refuge. And it was so that the people of God might learn to be merciful. Can you see that? You see, according to the customs of Israel, it was permissible to kill the accidental manslayer. You could chase him down all the way to the cities of refuge. You can sit there and wait until the man comes out. But you see, when the Lord appointed the cities of refuge, wasn't he teaching the otherwise? By appointing the cities of refuge, the Lord was demonstrating mercies to the unintentional killer. So just as the Lord demonstrated mercies to the unintentional killer by providing a place of refuge, he was calling the loved ones of the victim to show mercy to the unintentional killer. And we know that this is extremely hard, and I don't want to undermine that. It takes so much grace to be able to do that. But then this is a reminder that we see in the text. The text is calling the people of God, what the text is calling the people of God to do is to demonstrate mercies to those who make mistakes. You see, the Lord our God is perfectly just, but his perfect justice is not merciless. In wrath, he remembers mercies and he causes people to do the same. But the thing is this, even though the Lord had provided a place of safety for the unintentional manslayer, it didn't mean that it was okay. It didn't mean that it was okay. As simple as that. And this is very important for us to understand. Because sometimes we do that. We did something wrong, and then we say, oh, it's an accident. Like it didn't matter. Like, it's an accident, I'm sorry. And we move on. But you see here, no. God cares about that. He cares about when the Bible speak of the consequence, I mean, But no, God cares about that. And the Bible does speak of the consequence of shedding another man's blood. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." In other words, because man is made in God's image, human life is important. And that is why, even though the killing was accidental, it still demanded an answer. And that is also why in verse 6, it tells us that the manslayer had to dwell in the city until the death of the one who was the high priest. You see, he had to stay there. Yes, the man got to live, but he also had to suffer the consequences. So do you see, the city of refuge was not only a place of safety, but it was also an exile. There was consequences for those who shed another man's blood and took away a man's life. You see, the person had to live away from his family members and his homeland. He had to leave his possessions behind, and he had to live in a foreign city for a time. And the thing is that the man wouldn't know how long he had to stay there for. Because if you think about it, the high priest could live for a long time if the high priest was relatively young, right? But if the high priest was old, maybe he could stay there for just a brief period of time. But this is hard. But that is the consequence for shedding man's blood. The consequence is very costly, and the wrong must be carried. When a person's blood was shed, his blood polluted the land, and it demanded an answer. And brothers and sisters in the Lord, doesn't this speak loud and clear for us that life made in God's image is sacred, is precious? Don't the cities of refuge testify for us how precious human lives are to the Lord? And we look around us these days, we look throughout history as well, that human lives were treated very lightly. And in some societies, human lives are treated without dignity. Some murders were not even investigated. But this is not what our text is telling us, not what the Bible is telling us. It tells us that when a life was slain, it was God's creature that was ultimately being destroyed. Even when it was accidental, there were consequences, and the wrong must be carried. And so that is also why there was no other acceptable way to settle the matter. Money or other means could not be accepted. The only acceptable means to settle the matter was the slayer's life. He had to stay in that city, or if he left the city, he would have to die. But then, if we continue verse 6, we see that there was an exception. "And he," that is the slayer, "shall remain in the city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is the high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his hometown and to his own home, to the town from which he fled." And brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is significant. We're told that as soon as the high priest died, the exile came to an end. The killer was set free, and he could go home. But the question is, how could this be? And this is where we see the idea of a substitutionary atonement taking place. In God's wonderful provision, he allowed a substitute. And here, the substitute for the guilt of the accidental slaying of man was the death of the high priest. You see, instead of settling the matter through the death of the manslayer, the death of the high priest settled the matter. His death not only atoned for both the bloodshed, but also satisfied the claims of justice. So that is why with the death of the high priest, the man could come out as a free man. And he was free to go, because the debt that was required was paid for. And even if the offender of blood found him outside the city of refuge, he could no longer kill him, because the death of the high priest gave an answer to the enmity of the avenger of blood. The debt was paid for. You see, his death not only paid for the price for the penalty that the law demanded, but it was also sufficient to set the sinner free. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful picture. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, does this atoning death of the high priest remind you of someone else who is also the high priest and whose life and death also contain the power to save and to set the sinners free? And brothers and sisters in the Lord, the high priest here in Joshua 20 is a beautiful picture for us because it points us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the perfect high priest, who by his death offered us the perfect sacrifice for the atonement for our sins, and in so setting us free. And we also know that the Lord Jesus was the perfect high priest who rose again and who is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. And because of what he has accomplished at the cross, we no longer have to fear the avenger of blood, that is death, and we find rest in his abode. And we say, O death, where is thy sting? Thy sting, because the Lord has what the Lord has accomplished for us at the cross. He became our perfect high priest and shielded us from the avenger of blood. But the thing is this, we must remind ourselves that this text is not really about this, about setting sinners free. I mean, sinners free in general, or the murderer free. This passage is talking about a place of refuge for those experiencing heavy trials, especially when accidents happen to them and life would never be the same. You see, and when accidents happen, when trials come our way, there are so many temptations to find refuge in false substitutes, maybe alcohol. Some people even find their refuge in suicide. And the temptation is that we think that there's no way out. But here in this text, we're told that the Lord provides a place of refuge for us when terrible things happen in our lives. You know, the Lord our God, he knows our frames and he remembers we're dust. He knows each of our weaknesses. He knows that we're needy. And he knows that we cannot handle accidents on our own. So that's why he provides a place of refuge for those who would never be able to endure a day without looking back in pain and regret. And the refuge he gave is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our city of refuge from the storms in our lives, our strong tower and our secure hiding place, our mighty fortress from the times of trials and troubles. And he also promised that one day he will come again and he will make everything new. And on that day, there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. No more accidents will happen on that day. So, beloved in the Lord, do you see how gracious our Heavenly Father is? You see, even when accidents happen, there is a place of refuge for us. Where there is trial and trouble, there is also grace and refuge. So let us remember where we can flee to even when horrible accidents happen, because our Heavenly Father cares. He is with us when things go well. But he also promises us that he is with us even when things go terribly wrong. Let us also remember that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, but we have a compassionate high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in times of need. May the Lord help us and be merciful to us. And finally, if you're not a Christian, remember that the accidental manslayers were hopeless if they didn't go to the cities of refuge. You know, you too are being pursued by a tireless avenger, death. And one day, he will overtake you and he will consume you. So the question for you is this: how are you to flee from him? You see, there's no other way but one way. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So come. Come to Jesus, just as the gates of the cities of refuge were always unlocked for the weary and frightened people to enter. This door of the Lord Jesus is also unlocked for you. So why don't you flee to him today, so that you too may find refuge and rest in his eternal abode. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word for us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you reminded us that you are our city of refuge. And when accidents happen, we do not have to fear, because we can come to you. You are our mighty fortress. We thank you, Lord, for your work at the cross. We thank you for the Spirit of Christ who is with us now. And when we forget about these things, he reminds us who you are, a gracious and compassionate God, and that we have a high priest seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Father, we look forward to the day when you, when Christ will come again and take us into glory. May you strengthen our faith now, and may you help us so that we may hold fast to the promise you made to us until the very end. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.